Thou by, in Hebrew 7, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master hath given him a wife, and she hath borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges, he shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. John chapter 13. In the first verse of John 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. One more verse from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself, and shall make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. Amen. One of the dear servants of the Lord wrote something about love, which I picked up a few years ago, and it really sums up what I have in mind to share briefly this evening. And I have it in my Bible, and this is what he said. True love cannot be passive for long. It is like a fire having an active nature. It must be at work. Love longs for expression. It cannot be mute. Command it not to express itself, and you command it not to live. True love is not satisfied with expressing itself in words. Of course it uses words, but is painfully conscious of their feebleness. The full meaning of love cannot be conveyed in any humble language. It breaks the backs of words and crushes them into atoms, with all that it means. Love must express itself in deeds. The old proverb says, actions speak louder than words. Love delights in making sacrifices. She rejoices in denying herself. In fact, the more the cost of the sacrifice, the more pleasure she takes in making it. She will not offer that which costs her nothing. She loves to endure pains and losses, for this is how she expresses herself best. And in the story which we read in Exodus chapter 21, we have the story of a man who loved his wife, and loved his master, and loved his children. And his love towards them was not expressed in words, but in sacrifice. And all I have on my mind tonight is to share the simple thought that the expression of this servant's love towards his wife, towards his children, was twofold. First of all, he was willing to be pierced for them. That he loved them so much that he was willing to be pierced through with an awl for them. And the second thing is that he loved them so much that he was willing to become a servant forever. He loved them so much. And I often think of this story about perhaps a wife, and she's there, and perhaps she's feeling a bit down or feeling a bit troubled, And then she looks to her husband, and she sees in his ear the marks of an awl which has been driven through. And she says, "There's one that loves me so much that he was willing to be pierced for me. How should I ever be worried about anything?" And perhaps one day his children are conscious of some failure in themselves. Perhaps they think that their father is upset with them and his love towards them has changed. And then they wake up very early and they see their father serving. And they think to themselves, "He could have gone out free, but he chose to be a servant forever. Why? We heard him say, 'I love my master, I love my wife, I love my children, I will not go out free.'" And the simple thought which I have this evening to share is that our Lord Jesus loved us to the extent that he was willing to endure these two things for me and for you. That our blessed Lord loved us so much that he was willing to be pierced for us. And that our Lord Jesus loved us so much that he is willing to become a servant forever. And after this man had performed all that his master had required him to do, after he had fully finished his duties, he would not go out free. Why? Because he loved. And our Lord Jesus was willing to be pierced for us. I think of the hands of the Lord Jesus. His hands, which touched a leper. In Mark chapter 2, there was a man which came to him. And I really like this story. And he said, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And the Lord Jesus Christ didn't have to touch him. He could have just said, "I am willing, be thou cleansed." But the Lord Jesus stretched forth his hand and touched him. That man who probably no one would have ever wanted to touch. That man who probably, whenever someone saw him, would have wanted to get as far away from him as possible. But our Lord Jesus, with his gentle, loving hand, stretched forth his hand and touched him. His hand, which we read about in John chapter 13, the chapter that we read. We read that Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand. His hands, which the Father had given all things into. But he allowed those same hands to be pierced for me and for you. In the same chapter, we have another reference to his hands. That he took his hands, the same hands which the Father had given all things into, and he took those hands, and into his hands he put the feet of his disciples, and he washed their feet. And it was those same hands, those same gentle, loving, but powerful hands, which our Lord Jesus allowed to be taken and to be pierced onto a cross. Because of his love towards us. He was pierced for us. Take for instance his feet. His feet, which would walk many miles just for one woman. And he walked, and it says that he must needs go through Samaria. And he walked those many miles. And he, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. His feet, which would walk and walk and walk, just to meet with one woman. His feet, which would walk all the way to Jericho, just to meet with one man. And when we think of his feet, we cannot help but remember the words which say, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth glad tidings and that publisheth peace. But he allowed his feet to be taken and to be nailed to a cross for me and for you. We sung, "Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious wounded side." And what an expression of his love. that each of us can look and see one who has been pierced through and say, he was wounded for our transgression. The wounds of the Lord Jesus. When we think of the wounds of the Lord, think of times in which his wounds are spoken of. In John chapter 20, we get a reference to his wounds. When the Lord Jesus appeared to his disciples, what kind of a state were they in? It says that they were shut in for fear of the Jews. Now, his disciples were very scared, maybe very troubled and very worried. But the Lord Jesus appeared to them. And then it says this lovely thing. It says he showed them his hands and his side. He showed them his wounds. He showed them the perfect expression of his love. And in the very next expression it says, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And what was it that made their hearts be changed from worrying hearts into hearts which were glad? He showed them his wounds. He showed them the tokens of his love. And they weren't afraid anymore. And isn't this just what the Apostle John tells us? He tells us there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Maybe today, in the meeting, there are those who are afraid. And if we're honest with ourselves, we're all afraid of something. Maybe those who are young are afraid of the future, afraid of their studies, afraid of all of the challenges which is before us in life. Maybe those who are afraid of difficulties that have arisen in their family or in the meetings, or afraid of what the latter years would hold if the Lord would come. And we're all afraid. But what is it that dispels our fears? What is it that makes us become comforted and to realize that we have nothing to be afraid of? It's that there's one who loves us with a perfect love. That there's a good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. And it's that same shepherd which gave his life for the sheep that is our shepherd. The one that leads us along the way. But we get another reference to the Lord's wounds in the book of Zechariah. And in the book of Zechariah, this is what we read. That when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to the earth to reign, when he comes to restore his earthly people, that they will ask him a question. And it's a very touching question. What are those wounds in thine hands? And even when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to earth to reign for 1,000 years, his body will still bear the marks of his perfect love. The answer that he gives them is also very touching. He says, these with which I was wounded in the house of my friend. But we have one more reference to his wounds which I'd like to mention. And that is, I think it is also a reference to his wounds in the book of Revelation. When we read that when the elders were gathered around the Lamb, it was a Lamb freshly slain. A Lamb as though it had just been slain. And I think that one of the most touching things that we'll experience in heaven is to look and to see that there's only one. There's only one in heaven whose body bears marks. There's only one person in heaven which will have wounds in his hands and side. And that's our blessed Lord. And isn't that what we also sung? There are depths of love which I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. And how much of his love will we know then? Far more than what we know here. Someone wrote some beautiful words about this scene. And he said, how then shall I know him amid those hosts above? What tokens there shall tell me the triumphs of his love? Thy wounds, Lord Jesus, thy suffering wounds of thine, which saved me from sin, and death and hell. But he was wounded for us. He also became a servant forever. And if in the first case this servant's love towards his bride was expressed in that he was willing to be pierced for her, how touching it was that he was willing to become a servant forever. And our Lord Jesus Christ, he is the servant whom God could find all his delight in. Why is it that the Lord Jesus Christ continues to serve? Someone wrote very simply but very beautifully. He said, why is it that the Lord Jesus Christ is a servant forever? And he said, it's very simple. He said, love must express itself in service. And as long as love exists, love has to serve. Love cannot be idle. And he said, why is it that the Lord Jesus will be a servant forever? It's because he never ceases to love. And because his love towards us will never cease, his service towards us will also never cease. And what a wonderful thing it is to know that the same one that was pierced for me and for you still expresses that same love towards us today, right now. And we often speak about the love of the Lord Jesus as though it's in the past. He loved me and he loved us, and but he loves us today. And he loves us today with the very same love with which he loved us when he died on the cross for our sins. Despite all of our failures, despite all of our weaknesses, his love towards us doesn't change. And he still serves us. Even now, he cannot stop thinking about us. Even now when he's in the glory, his heart goes out towards those who are his own. What is it that the Lord Jesus does for us? Now obviously the subject is very big, but I like to think of it like this. On the day in which the Lord Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, he really began the ministry which he would continue on. That those very few things which he did when he first rose are really a token or a small sample of what he continues to do for us day after day after day. What was the first thing that the Lord Jesus did after he rose again from the dead? What was the first service which he rendered towards his people? The same service which he renders towards us day after day after day. The first thing which the Lord Jesus did when he rose again from the dead is dry the tears of a weeping woman, Mary Magdalene. And the first thing which was on the Savior's heart, the first thing that caught his eyes, was the tears of one of his own. And when I think of that, I think of the verse which says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, sin apart. It's one thing to sympathize with someone, but you've never gone through what they went through. And we all know it in our experiences. When there's someone that's trying to comfort us, but they've never been through what we've been through, they don't know what we've experienced, it's a completely different thing to when there's someone who's been in the same position as we are. And why is it that the Lord Jesus Christ is such a great high priest? It's because everything that we could possibly go through, he's been through. Sin apart. Someone said, even if you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, look down in front of you and you'll see the footprints of the Lord. And you'll find that he's been there before you. That there's no sorrow, no anguish, no hurt, which any of his people pass through, which he has not gone through first. He knows what it means to suffer. His face was marred more than any man. He was weary. And though he was never sick, he knows what it means to suffer. And he knows what it means to be troubled. He was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. He knows what it means to weep. He knows what it means to be hated. He could say, those who have hated me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. He knows what it means to be forsaken. And He knows what it means to be let down even by His closest of friends. And when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ as our great High Priest, we think of the words which say, can we find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share? And that was the first thing which the Lord Jesus did when He rose again from the dead. And it's the same thing which He's been doing for 2,000 years. But the second thing which He did is He went after and restored one who had failed Him. One day, I tried to gather together all of the different things which happened on the morning of the resurrection. And I said, I have to get the order in which they happened, because it's difficult when you read the four Gospels to know the order. And I found something which I wasn't expecting, but I found something very beautiful. And I believe that after the Lord Jesus left Mary Magdalene, He went somewhere. And the place that He was going was to look for Peter, or to find Peter. And of course He met the other women on the way. You remember that it says that Peter came to the tomb of the Lord Jesus. And after Peter had looked into the tomb and seen that the Lord was gone and believed, it says Peter went to his own house. Peter was satisfied without seeing the Lord. But the Lord wasn't satisfied without seeing him. And the Lord went after him and restored him. He restored his soul. And isn't that what the Lord Jesus Christ does for us day after day? How often do we wander from Him? How often do we fail Him and disappoint Him? But we have an advocate with the Father. And it's this same service which He's been rendering towards us for 2,000 years. But, of course, you'll say, the Lord's restoration of Peter started a lot longer before that, didn't it? And that's true. You know when the restoration of Peter began? It began even before Peter fell. In Luke 22, the Lord Jesus says, I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He doesn't say, if thou art converted. No. Because when the Lord's praying for us, there's no if. But when thou art converted. And the Lord Jesus Christ began the process of Peter's restoration even before Peter fell. What a lovely Savior. Maybe there's someone here this evening and you feel as though you've failed the Lord. And you're conscious of your weakness. And you feel as though perhaps you could never go back to the heights which you once reached. Let me tell you tonight that the Lord Jesus can't. It's not that He'll bring you back to where you were before, but He'll bring you back even to better than where you were before. Look at Peter just 50 days later on the day of Pentecost. Someone said that when the devil saw Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost, the devil probably hit himself and said, I wish I left him alone. Because now he's better than he ever was. And now he's stronger than he was even before he fell. And though the enemy may sift us like wheat, we have one who prays for us. One who prays and says, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. One who prays for us and says, I pray for them. And I like in the last words of the Lord in the Gospel of John. In Luke 22, the Lord says, I have prayed for thee. And then in John, the Lord Jesus says, I will pray the Father. And then in John 17, the Lord says, I pray for them. I have prayed for thee, I pray for them, and I will pray for them. He never ceases to pray for us. And why is it? It's because He never ceases to think about us. You know when someone says to you, I was praying for you, brother. it encourages you. And why does it encourage you? Because you think, isn't that nice of him that he thought of me? And that he thought of me so much to pray for me. Well, the Lord Jesus ever liveth to make intercession for us. And why is it that the Lord Jesus is always praying for us? It's because he's always thinking about us. But there's one last thing, and I'll close with this, which the Lord Jesus did on that beautiful morning, which I think he does with us as well. And that is, he was the companion of two whilst they were walking home. And in Luke 24, we read about the Lord Jesus. And we read about two weak disciples that were foolish and slow of heart. No one would have been so patient with them like the Lord Jesus. When the Lord Jesus came to them, the two on the road to Emmaus, and he said to them, what is it that you're speaking about? How did they answer him? Did they give him a nice, polite answer? They said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Someone said, again, that if it was Gabriel that drew near to them, they would have been finished if they answered him so rudely. You remember when Zacharias answered Gabriel and said, how is it that I am going to have a son? Remember what Gabriel said to him? He said, I, Gabriel, who stand in the presence of God and you speak to me like that, you're going to be dumb until your son's born. And this brother was commenting and he said, imagine it was Gabriel that met those two disciples. But no one will be patient with us like the Lord. No one will bear with us and take our weaknesses and our failures like him. And then, what did they say at the end? Did not our hearts burn within us while he spoke with us on the road and opened unto us the scriptures? Their hearts, which were once so cold, but now their hearts were on fire. What was it that set their hearts on fire? It was the fire of his love towards them. And the Lord Jesus Christ is our companion along the way. And I always like to say, and it's nice to see some young brothers here, I always like to say, take the Lord Jesus Christ as your best friend. Not only as your Savior, not only as your Lord, but take him as your best friend. Just like he walked with those two disciples. When you're going to school, when you're going to university, just remember that there's one that's walking with you. And it will be so much easier to live the Christian life. For example, if you're ever tempted to say an unkind word, if you only have in your mind, I know I really shouldn't do that, it's going to be very hard to do it. But if you remember that your best friend's there, that the Lord Jesus is there, you'll think to yourself, how can I say such a word when the Lord is here? And it makes the Christian life so much easier. And in the book of Proverbs we read that a man who has many friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And I can testify that the Lord Jesus Christ has been to me as a friend which sticks closer than a brother. And he is the best friend that anyone could ever have. He walked with them on the way. And is this not the service which the Lord Jesus has been rendering to us over the past 2,000 years? Even when no one's with us, we can say that he's with us. And in all of our sorrows, in all of our trials, in all of life's difficulties and challenges, we can say that the Lord is at my right hand, and I shall not be moved. What an expression of his love. Just like we sung of his wounds, and just like we sung about how he is our friend, the Lord Jesus Christ in his love towards us was wounded for us. And he became a servant forever. And even when we reach the glory, and don't ask me to explain the verse that we read in Luke. I just read it, but I can't explain it. His service towards us will continue. And truly, as we sung, There are heights of love which I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. And one day, maybe tonight, we'll be with the Lord.